No introduction needed. It's we're back in the situation room. Game one from the West Conference. Correct me if I'm wrong. Golden State Warriors and of course the Dallas Maverick. Olale, I'm pretty sure Kachi is watching right now. I'm like, oh, I missed out on this one. And I got this one wrong because it was thinking maybe the last Maverick might pull up a stunt, given that it still played on Sunday and yesterday was just Wednesday, so they will be a little bit fresher than the Golden State Warrior. Overall, I feel it was a bad game, a disaster on the part of the Mavs. What's your thoughts about the game overall?
Yeah. It was a disastrous game plan by the Dallas Mavericks. As a team, I think they just came up with one game plan, which is to shoot a three. And unfortunately, they were very poor shooting the three on the night. They shot 22.9% from the three. That was 11 out of 48 attempts. Wow. If someone tells you that, the Dallas Mavericks are going to attempt more threes than the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors actually shot 10. They made 29 attempts and they made 10 out of it, which was like 34.5% as a team. Mm-hmm. While Dallas Mavericks attempted 48, which gives them about like 22.9% from the floor, from the threes. But where Golden State Warriors as a team actually had their success was their overall free goal attempt. They attempted 82 shots all round. They made 46%. Considering how low their 3-point percentage was, that's to show you that they had a lot of success with the mid-range, getting to the paint. Mm-hmm. Unlike the Dallas Mavericks, overall, they didn't shoot well from the threes, and not that well too from the mid-range and getting to the paint, because they actually shot 31 out of 86. That makes it 36. So I think for the Golden State, looking at the game in general, it was a very close tie going to halftime. At halftime, it was a 9-point game. But within the 3-4 minutes of the third quarter, the Golden State Warriors actually probably finished the game. They step up their defense. I think in the first half, they went one-on-one with Luka Doncic. At every point in time, you get like two defenders on Luka. But I think in the second half, they actually change their strategy. They now focus on more zoning defense, not really trying to close out the passing lane, trying to have like two guys, not really defending Luka like that, but trying to close out areas where they think it can explore.
I can't hear you very well again. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So what they did in the second half was more of a zoning defense, not actually one-on-one. It's close to, in football, what we call zona marking, not one-on-one marking. When you mark the zone, you defend an area. So with that, they had a lot of success. They actually committed Luka Doncic. I think he had like 8 turnovers, which was very... held him like 20 points, which was, I think... That should be his lowest playoff points.
Playoff points.
Not even this season alone. I think that should be his career lowest when it comes to. So, for the Golden State Warriors, it might not be a perfect game. And I think that Golden State Warriors had success in their offensive rebound. Even though they couldn't make those threes, they were able to get the second chance, get the offensive rebound. And I think the Dallas Mavericks overall didn't show up. And for the Golden State, this is a kind of game a coach will be very proud of. They got production from everybody.
What
you can call a great night. Yeah. He had 23 points, which was the highest in the team. Andrew 19. Clay Thompson 15. And Wiggins was a big guy over on the night. He shot three. He made 3 points. He shot like 7.5% from
his threes.
Yes, which is the highest from the group. And he was plus 28 for all the total time he was on court, which means for all for all his, I think he played 35 minutes.
Yeah.
He was plus 28, which means the Golden State Warriors had plus 28 when and which is highest
on the court.
I think Draymond has plus 25, Steph Curry had plus 23. So wow. Overall, it wasn't really a vintage Golden State Warrior performance, mm-hmm. but they still they had enough within their tanks to record. Let me say, because at the point in time, it was almost a 30-point game.
Overall, it's still like a 30-point game. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Golden State Warriors had 126. The Mavs have just 85 or so.
The Golden State Warriors had 112. And the Mavericks has 87.
Exactly. So it was more or less like 20. That was too much of a
game. That was like 27 something. So like I said, even though they didn't really, it wasn't a vintage performance, but the good thing was when they realized the threes were not falling, as a team, they had to reduce it. They had to, and their motion of offense is one big thing that goes for them. They move the ball around. They create open looks. They create clean shots for every other person in the team, not only Steph Curry, only Klay Thompson. That is what the Golden State Warriors are actually known for. So even though they shoot a lot of the threes, they are a kind of a team that actually, if their three is not falling, they don't live and die by it. That was what the Dallas Mavericks as a team did. They live and die by their threes.
This is my question, though. It looks like potentially, what we had yesterday, we might see a clean sweep if care is not taken, or this game would not even get to game six, all things being equal, if going by what we saw yesterday. But yes, here's my question, though. If the Golden State Warriors don't get the right attitude, right? The right attitude of a good opposition, and they get to the finals of the NBA, could that potentially be a banana skin peel for them in the finals?
For the Golden State Warriors.
Exactly. Against, if they are playing against, especially against this Heat that is known for their defensive acumen, being astute, physicality, and the rest.
Yeah, it's going to be a different ball game against either Celtics or the Miami Heat. Those two teams are known for their aggressive defending, and they have the length, they have the size to defend on the perimeter, knowing that the Golden State Warriors are not that, even though they get to the paint a lot, but they are not that team. They don't really have any player that will probably force his way into the paint, just like probably a Giannis will do, or probably LeBron will do. So against any of the team that probably comes out from the East, it's going to probably be a tough game, especially from the physical point of view. The Dallas Mavericks team are not bad defensively. I think we'll see a different Luka Doncic in the second game. Like I said yesterday, he's a kind of a player who grows into the series over time. As the series goes on. He gets to know the opponent. He has for the first game now, he has the feel. He knows how the Golden State Warriors will defend. He knows who they are going to throw at him at every point in time. So I expect the Dallas Mavericks as a team to play better. Look how we play better in game two. The Golden State, all the supporting cast, I think they'll be better. I think Spencer Dinwiddie actually had a very good game yesterday.
Yeah,
he was. I think it was the only person that shot over 42% from the threes from both sides of the team. So, but the major concern where Dallas Mavericks should be concerned at the team is this: Golden State Warriors didn't really have a vintage performance, and they won. With ease. What if they have a vintage performance? That's the problem, because you don't expect Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole to shoot this ball from the three in the next few games.
So
for the Dallas Mavericks to probably even have a chance of winning this, of winning probably game two or win this series, that means they will have to double their
Awesome.
their effort, because like it's not even double, they have to triple it, because double is not enough. Double will probably give them a chance in game one based on what we saw from Golden State Warrior. They have to triple it, because you have to emphasize that Golden State Warrior will not be this bad in terms of shooting from the threes or
trees.
It's more of a collective team effort. Nobody had any step at 21 points. The others 18, 19, 12. Of course, you might probably, and the Wiggins might not probably produce another 19-point game throughout the series. But notwithstanding, you expect the trio of Klay Thompson, Jordan
Poole,
and Steph probably to average more than 25 points going forward in the series. So that will be a major concern for the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, talking about the game tonight, though, the Celtics and the Miami Heat. I don't know what to expect, honestly. But I want to put out a question to you. If Udoka does not change the game plan and they come with the same game plan that they did in game one, and don't forget that in game one, Miami Heat just kept close to them. Miami Heat were not good in the first half. That's why Jason had a terrific night in the first half in game one. Do you think if Udoka does not come with a master stroke template for this game too, are you seeing it winning again, especially if the Heat starts from the front foot?
Now the problem with Udoka making coming up with a different game plan, making adjustment, I think it's a matter of availability. If you recall, in the first game,
Marcus Smart was not around.
I think he has been upgraded to probable. So there's very likelihood that he's going to play tonight. Al Horford is still not available due to COVID issues. So that's a big miss for them. And now you could say, okay, they have Marcus Smart back. But from what we are hearing, Derek White is going to miss tonight's game due to personal reasons. So, of course, they've gotten one man, they've gotten a man back, and they are losing one other man. Except because what the Miami Heat did in the first game, especially during the third quarter, was to target Peyton Pritchard. Pritchard played 30 minutes. Ordinarily, if Alford was available, Marcus Smart was available, Pritchard would not play up to 30 minutes. Defensively, is actually very weak, even though he gave them 18 points in the first game. Yeah. So the Miami Heat were able to create their offense in such a way to create a matchup between Jimmy Butler and Pritchard. So most of the points Jimmy scored was on Pritchard. So his hands are a bit tight. Getting Marcus back will do a little bit for them. It all depends on how Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, how aggressive they can come out very early on, and how they could probably Jason Tatum has to work on his turnover. He actually turned the ball too much, and I think that was probably due to the fact that he was trying to do
too many things at the same time.
So many things at the same time: playmaking, scoring, rebounding. So I think the return of Marcus Smart will take a little bit of that away from him. He could concentrate more on scoring and defending Jimmy Butler. But again, the Miami Heat are still at home. It's going to be a difficult game. And Alford could have given them something special. And Alford could have directly attacked Bam Adebayo. But since he's not available, I think what they will hope for is a monster game from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and probably if they could find a way to slow down Jimmy Butler, instead of having that 41-point game, if they can slow him down to like 28, 30 points, and still holding the supporting cast, Tyler Hero and the others to like 14, 15, 18 points, I think the Celtics will have a good chance of snatching the two.
Everything you just said now sounds they cannot all happen at the same time. That's just the truth.
It's difficult. It's
close to impossible. holding down Jimmy from shooting at least 41 points, that's still possible. Maybe Jimmy can end with 35 points. But how do you do that and stop Tyler Herro as well and stop the other supporting cast? And at the same time, you're defending against them. At the same time, you're trying to shoot and do the rest.
So, but I think one thing the Celtics, I think they should do going to this game is they need to start, just like they did in game one, they need to start very early. They have to be very aggressive early on. If they could establish the similar lead they established in game one.
Yeah, in the first half.
Like, after halftime, like having a 10-point lead going to the break.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can survive the early onslaught in the third quarter, we know all the... If they can survive the early onslaught, I think they have a pretty good chance. But if not, it's going to be a Miami win.
Okay. sounds like a Miami win to me anyways. I think Miami is going to win this one, honestly. And just before we go, the Europa League final. Sad one for Nigerian supporters. You know, we had like three or four guys in that team. And at a point, I felt, oh, this is a chance. We're going to win and stuff. And Frankfurt came back to break our heart. I'm like, okay, fine. They are deserved winners. All tournament, they've not lost a game. All tournament, they've not lost any game. And okay, they did pretty well. Do you think they are deserved winners, Olali, Frankfurt?
Well, on the ninth, they probably were the better team. On the ninth.
Really?
A little bit. I think I'm a bit disappointed in the approach of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. I think it was a bit negative or too reserved. The idea of playing Joe Aribo as a first nine, I think, denied them a lot of creativity from the middle. I think Joe Aribo should have played the normal role, playing behind the striker. I think they could have created more. They didn't create a lot. I think the goal they had was more of a mix-up defensively, mm-hmm, on the part of Frankfurt. Apart from the goal, I can hardly remember anything the Rangers did in the ball.
Even though
Frankfurt were not that threatening.
Exactly.
As much. But I think you could still see the intent there. They were the team that was still trying to do the play, create a bit of space here and there. There are some couple of good chances in the first half. The Rangers goalkeeper McGregor made some solid save. I just think I wasn't too comfortable with that.
With the approach.
With the approach. I think they should probably be a bit more forward-thinking. I think one of their biggest players, who is their right back, their captain, Tavernier, who normally gets forward, couldn't get much forward. I was expecting them probably to adopt a more of a three at the back and wing-back situation. So to give him that chance to move forward a lot, exactly, forward than they, but they actually did their best. Well, it went into penalty shootout.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I saw something like, okay, like Ramsey,
I saw people at the lab put that on Facebook.
That Ramsey took his Arsenal bad luck or something like that. I was like, but Ramsey wants a couple of heavy cups at Arsenal.
Exactly. But I want to ask a question just before we go and round up. We saw that at the last Euro Cup as well, where you have players that are not playing, they were not playing. And when it's about time for the penalty shootout, you don't give them the chance to even stretch their leg for 5 minutes, 6 minutes. And you expect those guys to go and perform magic playing the penalty. And the commentator actually said something which resonates with me. Like, they are not in the groove. They are not in that mood yet. They might be a good footballer. And I saw that with the penalty that Ramsey played yesterday. Even Ruffle that scored his own penalty was not that good. It hit the post. to start with, you know. And I'm wondering, should it be a consideration for the coaches that, okay, I think this game might go into penalties. Let me bring this guy in maybe like 10 minutes, get it to the group, fight for the balls, the second balls and the rest. Have that mental.
At least a footballer should be able to do a bit of run around.
Exactly.
I think psychologically, we at home watching the game, and the players on the bench feels the tension of the game more than the guys play.
Exactly, 100%.
More than the guys. So, 100%. For a player who was probably under tension for close to 120 minutes, and you now throw him into the game, just like you rightly stated, at the Euros, we saw
Saka,
Rashford, and Sancho. And
Sancho.
As all the three of them actually missed their penalty. I don't think it's actually I think one thing about penalty shootouts and coaching is, I think coaches tend to overthink some of these things. We saw what happened with Chelsea at the, what do you call it?
FA
Cup. When they dropped Mendy, they have to move in. I understand the fact that some goalkeepers are probably better at least attempting penalties, shootout, but at the end of the day, out of the 11 Liverpool play, they scored us 11. I'm not sure many could have done worse than that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so I think sometimes it's just a bit of overthinking. I understand there are some couple of players who probably don't have the nerves. They can't take the heat in case they miss the penalty. I understand that fact, but like you rightly say, you have to give players a bit of... I don't think Ramsey has just gone bad that it's a big risk for you to give him 10-15 minutes.
10-15 minutes, exactly.
I don't think he's that bad suddenly If you put Ramsey in play on the pitch to play for like 10-15 minutes, it's going to be like a liability to us. So for me, I think the right thing to do is, if you probably think there are some players who probably have this, they have the confidence to take the penalty, it's just right for you to give them
that chance.
At least 10-15 minutes to run around. Because see, it's possible for you to be on the pitch for 5 minutes without touching the ball.
100%.
It's possible, like you, especially if your team is under pressure.
Ask Lukaku.
It's possible for you to be in the pitch for like 5 minutes without touching the ball.
Lukaku sometimes has 15 touches in a game, and sometimes he plays like 75.
So I just think coaches, for me, I think I will probably trust the 11 guys on the pitch if I'm not seeing like any form of, let me say, somebody being afraid or something like that. Like thinking, if you are good, I'd rather trust the people who have played the game than for a player who has probably under pressure or tension for 120 minutes and throwing him into the game to go and fix the penalty.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much, Lali, for this situation, gentleman room situation that we just did today. We'll be back tomorrow again with the review of the game between Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. I'm rooting for the Miami Heat. My heart is with the Celtic Boston, but I feel the Heat. Honestly, thank you very much, guys. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah.